Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters, keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Cooper & Company Law Firm and Fort McMurray Orthodontics.
On Play 103.
Hello and welcome to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm your host, Ryan McNally. On today's show, Mayor Sandy Bowman joins us to discuss a number of topics. We also hear from Fort McMurray Public Schools' Rhonda Blanchette on the Early Childhood Development Program and Kindergarten Open Houses. Joining me on the phone here today is Mayor Sandy Bowman. Mayor, how are you doing here today?
Doing very well, thanks. Beautiful sunny day.
Absolutely. Gorgeous out there. But I just wanted to start off by getting your thoughts on the passing on Guy Boutillier on Friday.
Yeah, my thoughts and my sympathies are definitely with his family, with Gail, Mark, and all his family and friends across the province. Guy, as well known in this community, as well known for actually being the last mayor of the city of Fort McMurray, and being involved in the amalgamation of the RMWB, and also being the youngest mayor in the municipality. I knew Guy for years and years, being in the sports world and being in the community. Nothing but respect for him. He's always been a good friend.
And he oversaw some extremely important development in the Fort McMurray region, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. He was always someone that he coined the phrase, "We have the energy," and he pushed that right through the RMWB, right through to the province. So always a big supporter of Fort McMurray. He loved this place. Any conversations I had, he would always go back. And, I mean, sometimes he'd give me advice, and we'd laugh about it. Actually, the last conversation we had dinner one day in Edmonton, and he wanted me to put the Christmas tree from Key Ann Park back on top of City Hall. And I was trying to explain to him the size of that tree, how big it was. But always a great conversationalist. His love for the region will never be matched, I don't think.
For the folks who never got to meet Guy, what was he like in person?
He's extraordinary. He's a vibrant person. He owned the room when he was in it. Any room at all, he had a super passion for McMurray, for Alberta. But any room he walked into, he owned the room. Super intelligent, and he could, like I said, own the room. But he'd welcome everybody in that room.
Wonderful stuff on Guy Boutillier. Mayor Sandy Bowman, switching gears a little bit here, the Girls Inc. of Northern Alberta Women of Inspiration Celebration occurred on Saturday. I understand you were there. What was it like?
Yeah, amazing. It's one of the top events I enjoy attending every year. It's my third one this year. And this year, I really want to thank Nanase Tonda with Girls Inc. and all their staff for putting on probably one of was the biggest event they've ever had. And speaking to Nicole Bourque-Boucher, this started years ago as a luncheon at the Sawridge Hotel, and it's grown to what it is today. And over the years, there's so many well-deserving women of inspiration nominees over the years that, and this year was no exception. This year, we have two municipal staff members, Allison Flett and Christelle O'Hara, were recipients this year, as well as community members Muriel Zatcha, Deneen Robinson, and Kyla Penner. So it was a very well-attended and very well-deserving recipients this year. All of them I know through my personal life as well as through my office. Is super great contributors to the region. The guest keynote speaker that night, actually, Major Vanessa Fulford, we gave her a certificate of recognition from myself and council. She's actually a Fort McMurray resident. She grew up here. She went to high school here. She's an astronaut cadet candidate. Super great listening to her. And when I first seen her as the recipient, as the keynote speaker, rather, I Googled her and looked it up. And if you Google F-35 fighter jet pilot and scientist, it's a pretty cool resume she has. Just to speak to her, her story was amazing. The stories she gave were inspiring to everyone, I believe, there. And like I thought, just myself, looking at the jets she flies, I was blown away. It's like a real live Top Gun giving a speech up there.
Yeah, I was about to ask. You would have heard from Major Vanessa Fulford, likely will end up in space. Let's be honest here. It would have been pretty cool to see and hear from, again, such a prominent person to come from Fort McMurray.
Absolutely, and I think that's some of the story that's not told in Fort Murray. We have a lot of people that youth that grew up here that really, like we said before, we push our youth to shoot for the stars, and there's actually some McMurrayites that are actually doing that.
And again, it's an important reminder that even if you are from the North, you can do anything.
Absolutely.
Switching gears again here, Mayor Sandy Bowman, I wanted to ask about the Fort McKay First Nations announcement with Suncor Energy from last week for prospective oil sands development on reserve lands. What are your thoughts on the announcement?
I was really honored to be there as in the partnership and to share along with their partnership and the friendship with Fort McKay First Nation and Suncor and the government of Alberta. So when our region succeeds, we've said this many times, when our region succeeds, Alberta succeeds. When Alberta succeeds, Canada succeeds. And this is what it's all about in our region, is making things work, working together, and for an energy sustainable future for the region. Chief Patter had very inspirational speeches when he was talking about being good stewards of the land, and they'll be completely responsible for those lands and the operations on them. So we're looking forward to this moving forward. It's nothing but good news for our region.
And I understand this isn't really new, as Fort McMurray First Nation and Suncor have been working together for quite some time. What does that say about the level of collaboration within RMWB when it comes to projects like this?
It's excellent to see. It's excellent to see to be able to sit down at the table and work these things out and come to an agreement that's beneficial for everyone. And I think this is going to be an example for the rest of the world, that First Nations can collaborate with industry to look at the energy sustainability for the not only the province, country, but even for the entire world.
How big could this be on the RMWB perspective with people working on this project and others?
Immense. This is what we've been waiting for a long time. If we talk about projects moving forward and projects being on hold, this shows the future that projects are going forward, and there's a long life for the industry here and for the community.
And again, setting up Suncor for possibly the next 15 plus years as well, I imagine that's got to be good news for the region as well.
Oh yeah, and I think 15 plus is lowballing. I think this is another 50 years of looking at things like this. I think there's a long-term look at this when we talk about the projects moving forward. I think industry, the way it's working right now, they're going to these expansions. I think this might be the first of many.
We'll be back with more from my conversation with Mayor Sandy Bowman next on Fort McMurray Matters.
We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Cooper & Company Law Firm and Fort McMurray Orthodontics.
On Play 103.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm your host, Ryan McNally. And we continue on the phone with Mayor Sandy Bowman. Switching gears a bit, Mayor Sandy Bowman. I know you're an avid sports fan, but unfortunately the Fort McMurray Oil Barons out of the playoffs after last night's overtime loss. What were your thoughts on the season and what's to come for this group?
Yeah, so last night was game three of the five-game series that kind of ended the Oil Barons' year. But I have to say, honestly, that was one of the best games I've seen the Oil Barons play all year. Gage Stewart stood on his head. He played an amazing game. Our defense were blocking shots. Our offense, they were firing shots from everywhere. Went into overtime. We lost a close game. So they have nothing to be ashamed of. They really left their hearts on the ice. So proud of them last night. And also proud of the fans. Stick around to give them an ovation at the end of the game. We're just looking forward to next season. And so I really want to give a shout also to all the players, as well as the NAAA, all the supporters, all the staff. There's a lot goes on behind the scenes. As for our team, our Oil Barons, so I want to thank the office staff, everyone that takes part in this, especially all the volunteers. Like I said, they have nothing to be ashamed of. They left their hearts on the ice last night. They had their backs to the ropes. They were in the corner, and they fought a well-played game.
What was that like last night at Center Fire Place? I can imagine it was a pretty cool atmosphere until that overtime winner hit the back of the net.
Oh, it was. It was great. It was great to see that. Like I said, that's one of the best games they played all year. They came out to play. They came out to win. So no shame in that loss at all. Fort McMurray's proud of them. We're proud of them. I'm proud of them. I can tell you, in my box, it was shaking the whole game.
We still have our Keanu Huskies men's basketball team in it, moving on to nationals on Wednesday. I imagine that's pretty cool to see, the men's basketball team going to nationals.
Absolutely, yeah, and I was there for that big win as well. It was great to see them win that at home. Definitely a big shout-out to Jeremy Waliga, the coach. He was ecstatic and emotional for this win. The players, again, put it all on the line and came up with the win. They won the ACAC national title or provincial title, and then moving on to the CCAA nationals in Sackville, New Brunswick. So I think that's next weekend, I believe, this weekend coming up. So best of luck to the team. Hope we see them come back with another championship.
I believe this is the program's first ACAC title. Maybe just talk about how big this is for the community.
It's huge for the community. Anytime, like my lineage goes back to St. Avex with the coaches there, and from 89-93, they dominated the university teams, and that boosted up not only the attendance but the school spirit. We had Coach K and Doc Ryan leading our boys and girls teams. So I see that. I seen that the other day when I was there talking to Curtis J. Phillips. We were standing on the side. Curtis was pretty teared up at the end of the game. Him and I talked about some of our past experiences in the community and university and ball, and Curtis being an expert on basketball in our community. He reflected back on the glory days, kind of my St. Avex years with our basketball program there, and how this seems like that, the same atmosphere, the community, the college, all there to back the team. You couldn't fit another person in the gymnasium for that championship game.
Keanu Huskies heading to New Brunswick. I imagine you'll be trying to catch a live stream as much as you can.
Absolutely.
Locally, we have a major curling event coming up with the Canadian U21s beginning March 24th. I imagine you're pretty stoked about this event coming up.
Yeah, we always are. Like any event that comes up, we're well positioned to host these events, so we're always excited when they're coming. So this event will be the best junior age men's and women's curling teams from all across Canada. So another national event coming here. This is the first time it's been here since 2013. So as that gets away, I think it started on March 24th, that Sunday. So I'm looking forward to be there for the opening ceremonies and the draws all through the week.
You hosted this, as you mentioned, back in 2013. Take us back to that event, if you could, and what that atmosphere was like in Fort McMurray.
So one of the big things is that all those players that were here curling then are now huge fixtures on the national stage. So it was a great event then, and I think this is going to be even bigger as we've experienced more events over the years, and we've also expanded our facilities. So I think it's going to be, you're going to see future stars here that you've seen back in 2013 that have gone to the national stage. And so it's really important to the community. If you're a curling fan at all, get out to this event, because these people you see playing here, they're going to be in the national stage in a few years.
What can fans expect at the 2024 edition of the Canadian Juniors coming up in Fort McMurray in terms of, outside the arena and outside the watching of just the draws? I imagine it's an event, right? It's not just curling, it's an event.
Absolutely, yeah. And like I said, we have so much experience hosting national events. It's going to be a great time for everyone. You're going to see the activities outside, as there always is at the Shell Place and McDonald Island. There'll be lots of stuff for everyone to do.
We just saw Matt Dunstone and Corinne Brown, both who won the events in 2013, compete at the Brier and Scotties respectively. So again, truly the future of the event is coming here to Fort McMurray.
Absolutely, yeah. So like I said, if you're any kind of curling fan at all, even if you're not, and you want to kind of it's going to be a great event to check out, because these young competitors will be the ones on the national stage coming forward. So it's great to see them right now. So you can actually go onto our website and actually look up tickets and you buy tickets, packages, as well as a volunteer.
To wrap up, Mayor Sandy Bowman, what's coming up at Council this week?
Council this week, we have a few presentations. As always, we have it open for the public to make sure to come and check out the council meetings and to be in attendance. People can come online and check out the what's going on in the community, so they're up to date and they know the facts of what's going on in the community and not kind of led by social media. You can actually tune in live. These council meetings is open to the public. We want the public engaged. We have our signage bylaw coming forward. We have some capital budget amendments. We also have an update from ECDEV that we're all looking forward to seeing.
Mayor Sandy Bowman, anything else you'd like to add here today?
Beautiful day, sun shining. We're still getting past the daylight savings cut in our sleep, but having the extra sun is definitely welcome.
Alrighty, well, thank you again so much for the time here today for Fort McMurray Matters.
Thanks, Ryan. Have a good day.
More Fort McMurray Matters is coming up next.
We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Cooper & Company Law Firm and Fort McMurray Orthodontics.
On Play 103.
And we're back on Fort McMurray Matters. I'm your host, Ryan McNally. Joining me on the phone here today is Rhonda Blanchett. She's the Supervisor of Inclusive Education with the Fort McMurray Public School Division. Rhonda, how are you doing here today?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
That's good to hear. You've already had some early childhood development open houses. How have those gone so far?
You know, it's been great. We've had a lot of families that have come out to visit, check out the schools, meet teachers, and learn more about ECDP.
Maybe tell me about that ECDP program and, you know, what it's all about.
Okay. So ECDP stands for Early Childhood Development Program. And that is what takes place in the year before kindergarten. So it's a language-enriched play-based learning environment. So through play, a child's early development skills will grow. So within that environment, they learn how to socialize, take turns, follow simple directions, how to solve problems in age-appropriate ways for 3 and 4 year olds. They hear many stories and they're surrounded by language, which helps to build their early literacy skills. So the children will be doing things like singing, dancing, moving. They work on their balance, coordination, and build their core strength, their big muscles. And then they start working on those little muscles in their hands so that they'll eventually be able to print their name, color a picture, use scissors appropriately. And we offer this in a safe and caring learning environment where the children will grow and develop these skills so that they're ready to move on to kindergarten and grade one.
Is it kind of like what preschool was, you know, when maybe when I was a kid?
It could be, yeah. Many people will describe our ECDP as a pre-K program if they're from other places. And what it is, it would be similar to a preschool in that, except that we have certified teachers that are teaching the programs and they are part of our school. So those ECDP classes are part of the things that happen in a school, you know, on the monthly basis, like assemblies. They have opportunity to have gym and music, library, all of those kinds of things. So that would be what the difference would be between that and a private preschool.
Why is it so important students are enrolled in this early childhood development program prior to kindergarten?
You know, children in early learning programs are actively supported and encouraged every step of the way. There's teachers, support staff, consultants that include speech-language pathologists, occupational therapists, physical therapists. And so they're working to help those children meet cognitive, language, social, emotional, physical needs by providing carefully planned and developmentally appropriate programs in a safe, respectful, and caring learning environment.
So what are the age requirements for the early learning program?
So for ECDP in the coming school year, so starting September 24, children born in 2020 are eligible to attend, and children born in 2019 will begin kindergarten in the coming school year.
Wanted to ask about kindergarten. Open houses are happening at schools across the division coming up very soon. What are some things that people should know?
Well, our kindergarten open houses are taking place in just under 2 weeks, Thursday, March 21st from 5 to 7 p.m. and Friday, March 22nd from 9 a.m. till noon. These open houses are drop-in, so it's not necessary to register in advance. And attending the open house gives families a chance to make connections with the school, the staff, have the opportunity to get any answers to questions that they may have about that. It's important to note, too, that children do not have to attend ECDP. Even though we encourage that, So we do have some families where this is their first chance to come into the school and get a feel for the school.
What can people expect at those open houses?
They will have a chance to meet probably the school administrators. They'll meet teachers. They get to see the classrooms when they're not full of students and just get a feel for what that will look like when their child starts in the fall.
How important are these open houses? Do they kind of help make that first day of school maybe a little less traumatic?
You know, I think that that's really the case, because anytime we have something new, that can be difficult, especially for little learners. So if they've had the chance to come to the school, see it on the outside, and then they actually get to go inside and check it out before they're starting in the fall, we have a greater sense of comfort, and it makes it easier on everybody.
I was wondering about the differences in traditional streams versus specialized. What could you tell me on that?
Well, we do have all of our programs offer developmentally appropriate practice for young children in a play-based environment. We have programs of choice where parents are able to choose an additional focus for their child's early childhood experience. So that can include French immersion, faith-based programs that take place at the Islamic school or the Christian school, or Reggio-inspired programming.
Learning with play. I think you mentioned that a little bit in your previous answer. What does that mean?
What that means, it's actually research-based, and it shows that play-based learning leads to greater social, emotional, and academic success later on. So learning through play is supported by the children. It's their natural response to the environment around them. And so when they're manipulating objects, acting out roles, experimenting with different materials, they're engaged in learning through play. So we let the child take the lead with that, and then the adults that are there supporting them are able to offer them supports and guidance and based on what their interests are from what they're showing in their play.
Rhonda Blanchette, the Supervisor of Inclusive Education at Fort McMurray Public School Division. Anything else you'd like to add here today?
I'd just like to say that we really appreciate parents coming out to our open houses. If they have further questions, they can contact the school or myself to ask those questions. And then we look forward to welcoming all of these little learners next year. I think we should also mention that for ECDP, there are fees associated with that, and in terms of transportation, it is up to parents to transport their kids to and from school when they're in ECDP. Once they are in kindergarten, there may be busing available, but that they'll have to talk about with the school themselves.
Awesome stuff, Rhonda. Thank you so much for your time here today.
Thank you so much for having me on.
That was our show for today. A big thank you to my guests for joining me on the program. We'll have more great content to share with you tomorrow, so stay tuned for that. Thank you for listening to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Ryan McNally. Have a good day.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this or any past episodes? Download the podcast at play1037.ca. Brought to you by Cooper & Company Law Firm and Fort McMurray Orthodontics.
On Play 103.